Hello, family. My name is Robert. I'm a recovering addict.
Hey, Robert.
The 12 traditions of NA. We keep what we have only with vigilance. And just as freedom from the individual comes from the 12 steps, so freedom from the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that will tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Three, the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Five, each group has one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprises, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supported, declining outside contributions. 11, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Understanding these traditions comes slowly over a period of time. We pick up information as we visit various groups. We pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. It usually isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out to us that personal recovery depends on NA unity, and that unity depends on how well we follow our traditions. The 12 traditions of NA are not negotiable. They are the guidelines that keep our fellowship alive and free. By following these guidelines in our dealings with others and society at large, we avoid many problems. This is not to say that our traditions eliminate all problems. We still have to face difficulties as they arise, communication problems, differences of opinion, internal controversy, and troubles with individuals and groups outside the fellowship. However, when we apply these principles, we avoid some of the pitfalls. Many of our problems are like those that our predecessors had to face. Their hard won experience gave birth to the traditions, and our own experience has shown that these principles are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together. It is only through understanding the application that they work.
Hello, family. My name is Cynthia, and I'm an addict. At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Rob.
Just a minute. I'm an addict named Robert.
Robert!
How you doing? First off, I'd like to thank God for allowing me to be here. I'm truly grateful. Robert, Bob. Okay. The same thing. Short version. You know what I mean? I just want to thank God for allowing me to be here today, down here. First off, I want to say that, it's an honor and privilege anytime to speak from the table. Because when I got here, this is the end of the road speaker. And my end of the road came a little over 14 years ago. And I can remember just like it was yesterday, I can remember coming in and how I smelt and how I felt, how I looked. I was 110 pounds. I had sneakers I ain't changed for months, maybe a year. I can remember all the things that I used to do as a child. I never thought I'd be a junkie. I never wanted to be a junkie. I had to be taught how to be a junkie. And it was real simple, I wanted to be accepted. See, I always wanted to be accepted by the fellas, by the girls, anybody I hung with. And by being accepted, I had to do as they done. If they drank, I drank. If they shot dope, I shot dope. And at an early age, I found a woman in a little white bag. And we traveled the road for 30-some years together. And she was my main girl. I've had women along the journey, but they were just companions. That little girl in that bag was my sweetheart, my love, I lived for her. I loved her more than anything in this world. You know, it wasn't until I came to Narcotics Anonymous and I was fairly beaten. My end of the road came when I was 42 years old. God has blessed me to be 56 years old today. That's a blessing. That's a blessing for an addict. You know, I heard my one of my predecessors speaking tonight, and he said something about people being mad at him when he was 24 when he got. Well, I was one of them people who judge people that's coming around here that's young, because I was like felt like an old man when I got here. But, like, everybody has to go their own course, you know what I mean? I don't know. I wasn't supposed to speak here, believe it or not. But the brother said the other brother didn't show, and he walked by me. He asked me how much time I had. I told him, he said, could you do it? And, like, my sponsor teaches me today not to turn down nothing. You know what I mean? Help another suffering addict. And, you know, my end of the road was, like, real desolate. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like a real piece of dirt. You know what I mean? Lower than dirt. I can remember some of the things I used to do, man, that I'm not proud of. You know, I used to have incense with my cousin just to get money, you know, for a bag. You know what I mean? And this was family member, you know what I mean? Like we had sex and I enjoyed it. And I thought that was the way I was supposed to live. You know, I went up an alley with homosexuals and did different things that I was ashamed of, that I was embarrassed of. And I started living with this all through my life. And, you know, like they say, the shame, you know, the shame is not speaking about it. And I speak about anything. I don't care what it is. See, I truly believe that I don't care if you accept me or not. I have to accept myself first in order to accept you. And, like, when I got here, I want everybody to think I was all this and all that and everything, and I was cool and I had a good message. But let me back up a little bit. When I got here, my name was not Robert and I wasn't the addict. I was cool and totally hip. My name was Buster and I was a dope fiend. You know, I was one of them old popcorn gangsters. See, it wasn't until I started doing some step work with my sponsor, realizing that I could put that aside and I didn't have to be that person no more. My God-given name was Robert, so I became the Robert the Addict. You know, the steps are very important in my life today, and I stress that through my sponsees that I have. You know, like, it's an honor and a privilege to help another man. It's an honor and privilege to help any addict, but more so men. And I truly believe men with men, women with women, because if I was sponsoring women, I wouldn't be here with the clean time I got. Bet on that. Bet on that. And maybe the women wouldn't be here that I know that the women friends I have today wouldn't be here. See, I came here. When I came here, I fought a little bit of a dilemma. See, I came in. I was HIV positive when I got here, and like that to me was a death sentence. You know, I didn't feel good about myself when I got here because I felt like a piece of dirt when I got here. So when I found out I was hot, I said, "Damn, what am I going to live for? Let me continue to go back out and shoot some more drugs. I'll die in the street." That was my normal thinking, that I wasn't worth nothing. That was a piece of dirt. And, like, thank God for my sponsor. Thank God for the people in Narcotics Anonymous. See, anything I say, I'm going to thank Narcotics Anonymous. Anything I had today, I got through Narcotics Anonymous. Because if it was up to me, I'd still be shooting dope or dead. That's the bottom line. And we can get the material things around here, but check this out. Can you keep them? You know what I mean? Like, can you can get the girlfriend, you can get the car, you can get the jewelry and all that, but can you keep it? See, I used to think about that 5-hour garage sale out on the curb after a while, you know what I mean? Because I had one relapse in this period of time I came around. I came in around March 1990, and I got clean on Valentine's Day of all days. I got clean on Valentine's Day. And the day I got clean, it was like 4 years later, you know, I was married and had the kid and had the beautiful home and all that. And everything was going good. And I got kicked out with 5 cigarettes and 35 cents in my pocket. And see, like, that's the play with, you know, that's where the people in Narcotics Anonymous come in. You know, here I am. Now, you got a picture of a person that didn't feel like nothing anyway when he got here, accumulating a home, a wife, a child, and all that good stuff. And then the woman of his dream telling him to hit the curb. Well, it was devastating, but guess what? I learned from that mistake. I went back for more punishment. Don't get me wrong. I went back for more, twice more. I learned. 3 strikes, you out, and I was out for good. But, like, guess what? The bottom line is, like, I didn't know how to have a relationship. All I did all my life was come home, go to jail, shoot dope, and make babies. That was it. All my life, that's all my life consisted of. So I didn't know how to have a healthy relationship. I didn't know how to have a healthy relationship until I started doing some, there goes that word, step work, to find out who I was inside. See, we can dress up the outside, but what do we feel like inside? And like I had to find out who I was, how I felt about different situations in life itself. You know what I mean? I got a beautiful life now. I got my own little place. I have my 14-year-old boy living with me. And that's another thing I want to speak about. God has blessed me. You know, I had two children in this recovery process. And both of them was HIV positive when they were born. It's only through the grace of God that they are normal children today. You know what I mean? And my son, I can remember just like it was yesterday. I fell in the hospital, cried like a baby, when they told me my son no longer had to come back and take shots and do this and do that. Because the children I seen in that area of that disease at that time, a lot of them weren't going to live. And each day I took my son to the hospital, each week I took my son to the hospital, it was like, is my son going to die? Is he going to die? And God bless me, man. And then we had a daughter, and she's healthy too. And like I got a lot of things I can say about Narcotics Anonymous and God. And see, that's what it stems from me. You know, my end of my road, I know exactly where the end of the road came from me. From eating out of them McDonald's garbage cans, from going in them Dunkin' Donuts joints and brushing the coffee grounds off the cake and taking it to the house and thinking we was eating steak and we was eating donuts with coffee grounds on them. You know, all that. And living in them abandoned houses and smelling like a piece of dirt. I remember that like just it was yesterday. Because every time I put my key in my apartment, thank God. Every time I take a shower, wow, I feel good. My neighbor upstairs, he's in the other, you know, that other fellowship. But like, we cool. And like, he asked me sometimes, how many people you got down there? Because I'd be singing in the shower. I didn't come here to be miserable. I came here to be happy. You know what I mean? Relationships, like I said, is not one of my better things. But guess what? I'm not in a relationship, but like things is happening different in my life right now. And like, you know, I'm fearful of getting in a relationship. But I have a woman that we kick it and we have a lot of good times and everything like that. And I had to call my sponsor and say, I'm scared to get in a sexual relationship with this woman because I don't want to mess up the friendship we have, the joy and the freedom we got. But she also wants to get into it. And like the thing, the dilemma about that is we might get into it and we might go our separate ways. And like, I'm not good dealing with that. Like I said, I ain't good with relationships. I got to think about like, you know, am I going to hurt her? Is she going to hurt me? What's the deal going to be? And like a lot of given days, you know, like I don't want to be in a relationship. I want to be free going. You know, I'm going to drive my car, go where I want to go. I don't want to be called on the phone 55 times by my woman asking me where I'm at, what am I doing, who I'm with, where I'm going. You know, that ain't a relationship. That's a jail ship. You know what I mean? And like I ain't down with that. I don't know. It's just in the last 3.5 years, being single and being free gives me some opportunities, gives me something to look at, and it gave me to look at me. It gave me the opportunity to find out that, like, I don't need to be in a relationship with the opposite sex to have fun. I always thought I had to be, and that was it, even after having almost 10.5 years clean. It was like, I always thought, like, you know, relationship with a woman is to take them out, have dinner, and go to bed with them. Just don't work like that. You know, it took me 10.5 years. See, like I said, this is a learning process. We all have to learn in our own given time. Everything's not the way it looks to be. You know what I mean? Man, like I was with my sponsee. Me and my sponsee got a room, and we kicking it and we having a good time, and like I look at him a lot of times. I say, "Wow, God's been good to us." You know that? God's really been good to us. I just buried Thursday. I just buried God got me clean, man. He was 49 years old, and after I left that funeral, man, I was driving. I was saying, "I'm 56 years old. all the people he helped all through his life. I mean, like, he's gone. I mean, like, why am I still here? And like, I call, see, here we go. I call my sponsor. Because, see, I don't know nothing on a lot of given days. I don't want to know nothing. See, I stay teachable today. See, we get people around this fellowship to get a little bit of time, and you can't tell them nothing. They don't want to hear nothing. They know everything. They get them I knows. I knows you're going to be back on that corner if you know that much. That's what I know, because that's why I want to stay teachable at all given times. You know, I want to just live. I want to be happy. Been miserable all my life for all them years. I don't know. For me, and this is for me, Narcotics Anonymous is my life. You know, I go to meetings. You know, I go back to the basics that were taught to me in the beginning. Meet makers make it, keep it simple, simple, stupid. All them little sayings that, like, a lot of days, I don't hear them. In the area I'm in, I don't hear them as much. You know what I mean? To me, the area I'm in is a learning process for me and the people in that area because, like, I don't know. Not that I'm better than, but, like, I come from a different era. You know what I mean? Some people, it's not being judgmental, but I have to take the inventory if I want to be around them. I've tried to help different women in this fellowship. Nah. That's a no. And my sponsor told me no, and I went against the grain, and guess what? I got the pain. Straight up. You know what I mean? That's why I say the women with the women and the men with the men. Relationships, when you're in relationships, it could be recklessness. You know what I mean? And like, when I came around here, there was quite a few people that are still around here today. And they got quite a few years. You know, this is my first time at this convention. You know what I mean? But I've been at quite a few of them. And, like, I'm enjoying myself down here because I made up my mind that I wasn't coming down here to be miserable. I was coming down here to have some fun. And I'm having all the fun I can have. You know what I mean? A few things have happened. Like, when I get back to the city, I'm going to take care of all that. You know what I mean? But, like, the situations that are baby situations, they're not dramatic situations where someone's going to get high over it. I hope not. But, like, all I have to say about Narcotics Anonymous is that, like, I'm an addict. And a lot of given days, I'm just blessed to wake up. That's all. I'm blessed to wake up, to get up. I have 4 major operations going to happen to me in the next 2 months. And through operations and listening and being teachable around here, I know what the operations bring. I know what kind of pain. I know what kind of pills. I know what kind of acts have went out with multiple years because they misused. And guess what? I'm going to have my sponsor and many of my sponsees and everybody else in the family. We're going to have a little get-together at my house, in my apartment, and they're going to control me because, see, I can run real quick. Oh, poor me. I got to, oh. My operation. I use because of my operation. But see, by me listening to other people, by listening to other people coming back saying they got 24 hours less, but they had 10 years, or they had 14 years, but they misuse prescription medicine. I know to make preparations for that before it happens. See, I can turn around and use that as an excuse. I can get a free high. But I don't want a free high today. That first one will take me and really wreck me. And like, you know, basically, I ain't for all that running out copping. That sounds like a big job today at 57. I mean, when I was younger, yeah, it wasn't no problem. But I'm 56 years old. I can't run from them young boys. Nah, I don't want to get hurt. They're going to take my money anyway and maybe not even give me my drug of choice. So why even fight with them? So I'm staying here. I'm staying home. See, Narcotics Anonymous for me is my home. The people in it, I love them to death, man. I really do. There's a few people in this room right now, man, that, like, they're close to my heart. You know what I mean? They came down from Philly. Not to hear me. Nah, not to hear Narcotics Anonymous. See, you're listening to Robert, but see, it's a Narcotics Anonymous message you're getting. This ain't my message. Because this is my message, I'd be out on the beach with a girl or something. I wouldn't be giving you a Narcotics Anonymous message. You know what I mean? Robert's message has been screwed up all his life. See, I have to learn how to listen and learn. See, we listen around here, and we take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and then we say, oh, everything's all right. How all right really is it? I mean, come on, look at it for face value. If you're having a hard time with something and you keep it to yourself, eventually it's going to eat away at you. You grab somebody in this convention. I've seen many people grab people and cry and didn't even know. Didn't even know they were just hurting that bad. But see, sometimes us men, I'm only going to speak for the men. I don't know about the women. Remember, we get that ego trip in us. You know, oh, we cool. Man, look, I've cried many a days over things, man, and you people have held my hand. You've brought me up out of bondage. I've cried like a baby and hit the floor. I didn't know what I was going through. I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't know what I was thinking, but you guys helped me out. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't long-winded. They said I had a half hour. I ain't got that much in me. You know what I mean? All I have to say is that if you're new and you don't understand, you keep coming back and you will understand. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.